This podcast is made possible by the generosity of supporting members. Please visit dharmaocean.org to learn more about becoming a supporting member. You are listening to the Dharma Ocean podcast. In this teaching, Reggie comments on the role of the body in daily meditation practice. He says that modern people often approach meditation as a means to get out of the body, but without an openness to pain, feelings, traumas, and memories, there is no journey. We don't grow. This talk was given in 2009 at a retreat held in Portland, Oregon.
Good morning, everybody. I'm going to carry forward with our practice, but I wanted to just say something about using the body work in the framework of all of your practice. So, the body work is a whole, you could say, corpus of teachings in and of itself. And you can make that basically the heart of your meditation. Where it comes up in the Tibetan tradition is you do a lot of other things first. And then later on the path, you're introduced to the body. And it's set up that way because the Tibetan culture is so embodied to begin with that they're not dealing with disembodiment the way we are. And so they defer really focusing on the body until later. And a lot of people really never get to it. A lot of practitioners don't get to it because this work was traditionally done in caves by people who were in long, long retreats. But in Theravada Buddhism, this work is introduced early on. There was a teacher, I think he died in the 50s, named Lee Dharmadaro, a really great meditation teacher who lived in northeast Thailand in the mountains as a forest monk. And he taught amazingly advanced body work right off the bat to people the first day he taught the meditation. And Zen also uses it early. So, kind of looking at the whole scene, I've come to the conclusion, working with a lot of people over the years, that this work is uniquely powerful and impactful, particularly for modern people who are so very, very disembodied. The problem with being in your head is that there is no journey, as I've mentioned. The journey comes from relating to our larger self. And the body itself, as I mentioned, is the what's called in Buddhism the alaya. You know, we have our consciousness, and then we have this vast domain of, we call it the unconscious. It's called the storehouse consciousness in Sanskrit, the alaya. And the alaya exists independent of the body. When we die, continues. But the unique thing about the body is that the body is the incarnation of the alaya. Our consciousness is housed, so to speak, enclosed in this body. So we make the journey through actually working with the body itself. And within the Tibetan tradition, if you keep going with it, you begin to realize that even the apparent physicality of the body is also part of the unconscious, and the more we make the body conscious, the more light and fluid and flexible it becomes. And at the higher stages of the path, the journey is really incorporating the unconscious, making it conscious. That's what the journey is. You know, these vast domains of the alaya, through our practice working with our body, they become conscious. You know, we start with our immediate personal unconscious, our shadow, which is all of the qualities and experiences about ourselves that we can't really face. We start incorporating that, but it goes much further. And in Tibetan tradition, it goes to the point where the body basically disappears. It's called the rainbow body. The body becomes lighter and lighter until it's not material at all. And there are many, many stories and circumstances witnessed by people who are alive today in Tibet where the body of very realized people just basically disappeared. And the tradition is that they go into retreat and they announce they're going to die. They go into retreat for a few weeks. And then after a few weeks, the cave is opened and they're just fingernails and hair and the body isn't there. It's gone. So whatever you think about that, it does more or less show us that the journey into the body is a never-ending one, really, from our point of view. And our spirituality comes from going into the body and being present with it and incorporating the information that is throughout the body. So, modern people tend to practice in their head and with a lot of ideas. And they're not really in their body, and they're not relating to their body. And it even gets to the point where many of us think the journey itself involves distancing ourselves from all of our painful aspects. That meditation is about pushing down or pushing away traumas and, unpleasant emotions and unwanted memories and difficult parts of ourself. People actually believe that. I mean, it's amazing. And when you do that, there's no journey. You may get into a peaceful space, but there's no journey because there's no process, there's no integration. And the body, of course, is out of the picture entirely. So for modern people, because we're so disembodied, and the reason we're disembodied is because the notion of having a journey and developing is not welcome in modern culture. The kind of individuality that comes out of having your own journey isn't welcome. The society is so complex and the roles are so rigid that any kind of real creativity and individuality it's difficult in a corporate culture. And frankly, we're back to the agricultural thing. You have the same kind of situation in China. It plays out in a different way. A very rigid, stereotyped society. And even though the whole thing is very different, the difficulty for individual people to really unfold fully within that situation is very similar to our situation. So from that point of view, then the body becomes very, very, very important. And beginning to practice with it at the very beginning of our spiritual journey it's so important. It's not something we can really defer just because we're so cut off as people. So you can make this body work the main part of your practice. It can be your main meditation in the morning. If you get up and you allocate an hour, you can do body work for half an hour, and then you can sit and work with your breath or just be in your body. We've done both of those so far. You could do 45 minutes of body work and then 15 minutes of sitting. Or another thing you could do is, which my students often do, is do a lot of body work for a few years, a lot of body work, and really recalibrate their whole relationship to their body so it's natural and it's just part of who they are. And then the body work becomes something they'll do at the beginning of meditation session. And you always want to connect through 10 points. You always want to connect with the earth. But you can do that in the space of 10 or 15 minutes once you're really sort of tapped in. And then you can sit. You can sit for an hour. Yesterday we were talking about how working with the breath here and kind of going out, there's a tendency to feel disembodied with that practice. And that's true. When we're not really fully in our body in an ongoing way, there is a natural sense of losing touch with the body, which that's not a good thing in meditation. But when we sit and do body work over a period of time, we become, we're here, you know, we're in our bodies, and there's the kind of normal blockage between the conscious mind and the body isn't there anymore. It's been largely eliminated. So there's a free flow of energy, and at that point you can just sit and do nothing. You can just sit and open your mind to the space, and you're in your body, and you're on the earth, and there's no sense of being separated. And that's a practice that develops over time. And when you are doing long retreats, you would do that practice. You would simply sit. And you might do body work, but also just sitting. And you also might use the body as an object of mindfulness. And we may do some things today along those lines. For example, one thing is you can breathe into the lower belly. Instead of putting your attention here with your breath, you can put it in the lower belly and just sit that way. Another one is breathing in through the perineum. You can do that as your object of mindfulness. So your attention is very low in your body. Meantime, you're sitting, opening your mind. So you're not really exactly doing body work, but in a way you are, because you're meditating in such a way that it's keeping you right here in your body. So whether you're using an object of mindfulness such as that in your sitting, or whether you're just sitting and opening your mind, which is more Mahamudra style, which is, you know, is more of a Vajrayana style, it's very worthwhile to periodically practice that way for a long time. What I suggest is often in daily practice, we can't really do that much. Some people can do an hour and a half on a daily basis, but many of us can't just because of our families and our work situation. But, you know, at least once or twice a week, you know, maybe on the weekends, it's very worthwhile. Do some body work and then just sit. And work with the tendency to want to move and do things. That even like sometimes if we set aside 2 hours to sit, there's a whole journey that happens there that really can't happen when we're not sitting as long. So we learn how to be in a space without doing anything for a long period of time, and it's very, very eventful. In the beginning, often when we do that, it's terribly boring, unbearably boring. But I think after we become more familiar with the longer sitting times, it becomes extremely eventful and very, very interesting, you know, to sit in that way. In some sense, you're being a witness to your own journey when you sit that way, and things happen, and you go through different kinds of processes and changes. So at a minimum, I want to encourage people to do body work before they do other practices. More than that, you could take this, you know, using the CD sets, the Your Breathing Body series, you could use that as your main practice, you know, for a year or two. But still, even if you take that route, periodically just sitting for a long time is really helpful. And, you know, I teach this program, Meditating with the Body, every year, where it's mainly body work. And I always like those folks to come to the winter meditation, the Dhaten, you know, this month-long thing we do, because that's really when you get a chance to see what it's like to sit all day. And we do body work at the beginning, but there's also just a lot of sitting and letting the mind open. You know, the mind is like, it's like stirring up mud from the bottom of a pond. Initially, there's all this silt and debris in the mind when we sit down. And even if we feel quite peaceful, it's surprising that the more sensitive we become, there's still silt and debris. And when we sit for a long time, the mind actually goes through its own natural process, and the silt and the debris settles over a period of a day. You know, if we're sitting in this retreat, it settles and then becomes very, very clear, very open, very pellucid. And, you know, once you have that experience day after day, it does change our ability to access what we're calling the Dharmakaya, or the natural state of awareness. Our ability to access it changes, and it becomes more accessible. And also we get to know it better, and there's less fear. As you know, initially when we do some of these practices, there's a lot of fear in the beginning to encounter a space where there's no me. And we feel, you know, we're going to be swallowed up or whatever it may be. And through retreats and through doing a lot of long periods of sitting, we become easy with it. And you'd rather be there than anywhere else. Now, that's not going to work out because we have a world that's dying before our eyes. And the deeper our practice, the more we have to help other people. But still, not only are we not afraid, but it's all we want to do is rest in that huge open space and live our life out of that. And again, that comes through just sitting for periods of time. So I'd like to, you know, encourage everybody here in that direction. Do the body work as much as you want to, but also give yourself periods of time when you're just sitting so you get to experience what happens when you do. Because the body work is doing things. You know, it is doing things. And even though what we're doing is extremely necessary and very, very important, the missing piece is hanging out for a long time in that big space. So you can do the body work to get into the space. You can do the earth breathing. You can do the 12-fold belly breaths. And then there's some other things we're going to do today so you can tap into the big space. But then the next thing is staying there. Learning how to stay there, rest with it, be with it. So you could do the earth, you could go down to the earth, and then you could just stay working with the point of infinity for a couple of hours. And this morning we're going to do that sitting up, just so we can see what that's like. Or you could do the, if you're feeling, you know, really embodied, you could go out in the directions, do that practice, and then just leave your mind out there for an hour and see what happens. When you really are fully in your body, the space becomes interesting, and it's the earth space and the around space and the upward space. I mean, it all becomes interesting, and it's all something that we can explore. And the periods of long sitting help us to do that. It's often said that in the Vajrayana, the initial sort of important thing is seeing the space, and we do that through what's called pointing out. And what we're doing here is what's called Sutrayana pointing out. It's a pointing out, showing you, you know, the nature of mind, not within the Vajrayana context, but within a pre-Vajrayana framework, which in our tradition, this practice was started by somebody named Gampopa, who felt, you know, that people needed to have access. So the first thing is seeing, being shown, you know, that vastness. And then much of the journey is just simply learning how to be with it more and more fully. Hang out there, be with it, become familiar with it. And then eventually your emotional investment switches from the conditioned personality to the unconditioned non-personality. And the personality becomes in service of the bigger space, the true person, and then the ego is in service of the personality. So then at that point we have our ducks in order and we are living in a way that's wholesome and fluid and flexible.
To find out more about the next Meditating with the Body retreat that begins in September, and to explore a variety of audio listening guides to assist you on your spiritual journey, please visit dharmaocean.org. Music is by Jeff Beal and Nawang Ketchog from the album Tibet, Cry of the Snow Lion.